I wanted to give you a shortened, condensed version of what I communicated down at Redeemer Bible Church when we were down there for that first Sunday we were gone, because I need the point of the message. I need to hear it again and again. I need to be reminded of it. And I don't know, somehow I felt like you should know what I was saying down there. It just feels that way for some reason. The title of the message was called Reality Check. And as far as the content of the scripture that's going to come forth, the exegetical aspect of it, it's light, it's nothing new, it's repetition for us having been through Isaiah together and through Acts past the point of the verses that I want to read. And I'm simply going to read a bunch of verses, not a whole lot, just a few, from different places in Isaiah, two places in Isaiah, two places in Acts. And then you will see the common ground, and I will remind us of reality and apply it. See how it is relevant for us. The first passage is in Isaiah 50. In Isaiah 50, verses 10 to 11. The Lord says, "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant?" That servant is the servant in Isaiah, who is Jesus, the Messiah. For them, future. For us, done deal. Christ has come. "Who among you fears the Lord and obeys the voice of His servant? Let him who walks in darkness and has no light trust in the name of the Lord and rely on His God." Now there's a contrast for those who aren't going to do that. "Behold, all you who kindle a fire, who equip yourselves with burning torches, walk by the light of your fire and by the torches that you have kindled. This you have from my hand, you shall lie down in torment." In two verses, there's graphic imagery there. Two pictures. Those who are in darkness can either walk by the light of the Lord, trust Him and obey Him, or walk according to what they think is right and true and wise, their own wisdom, their own counsel, their own ways, in other words, their torches, their light. But those who do that, says verse 11, he says, they will lie down in torment. And then we jump to the end of the letter, the end of the book, the end of Isaiah, chapter 66. You remember, it wasn't too long ago that we were in chapter 66. And this whole book from the prophet Isaiah by God ends this way. "For as the new heavens and the new earth that I make shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your offspring and your name remain. From new moon to new moon and from Sabbath to Sabbath, all flesh shall come to worship before me, declares the Lord. And they shall go out and look on the dead bodies of the men who have rebelled against me. For their worm shall not die, their fire shall not be quenched, and they shall be an abhorrence to all flesh." Now I'll go ahead and jump to Acts. Chapter 10. Peter's preaching in a home of non-Jews, Gentiles. First time this is really taking place in Acts, and here it is, the Apostle Peter there. And in Acts chapter 10, starting in verse 36, he says, "As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace, through Jesus Christ, He is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that He did both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. they put him to death by hanging him on a tree, but God raised him on the third day and caused him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Jump over a few pages in your Bibles to Acts 17. Paul, now it's the Apostle Paul, he's speaking to a group of non-Jews, Gentiles also. I'm just looking at verses 30 and 31 of chapter 17 of Acts. Paul says, "The times of ignorance God overlooked, but now he commands all people everywhere to repent, because he has fixed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by a man whom he has appointed. And of this he has given assurance to all by raising him from the dead." All of those passages from Isaiah in the Old Testament to Acts in the New Testament share a common thread, a common theme, and that is that there is an eternal, an everlasting, a continual, ongoing reality for everyone that is beyond the grave. That there will come a point in time when judgment will occur. And we will either be in the new heavens and the new earth, or cast out where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. That is reality. That is the reality that will outlast the temporary reality that you find yourself in, whether you like it or not, the reality that you're in right now. It will come to an end. But that reality is a lasting reality. How is that relevant? Well, first of all, if your faith is in Christ, then your reality includes eternity in the new heavens and the new earth, in the presence of God, where there is no more sin, suffering, dying, pain, rebellion against God. That is your reality that will far outlast your reality now. And that should therefore be in our minds, that reality, constantly bringing our perspective into check. Our perspective into what it's really like. One young person recently, I won't name the young person, said to me, "How come I had to sit there for an hour?" They sat there for maybe 15 minutes. What do we know, those of us who are older, that the younger ones have a different perspective on time and how long things take. A half an hour car ride to them just seems so long. But to us, a half an hour is a blip on the screen, especially if there's no traffic. Right? Perspective. And this reality that is there in both the Old Testament and the New, this reality that there is an eternal existence where one is either in the presence of God or banished from Him, is to ever be on our mind, aligning, checking, focusing our perspective. Much like the kid who thinks life has come to an end because their sandcastle just got washed away. This will all wash away. Actually, it will all burn. There will be judgment. Jesus will return. If your faith is in Christ now, you will stay in His presence. Let that taint in a good way, color in a good way, how you look at the things that are going on in this life. If your faith isn't in Christ, you don't know how much longer you have in this life. Now is the time, as the book of Hebrews says, enter His rest while it is still today. Because regardless of what we'd like to think or say, what people say, this is the reality. You know, and we know it. We know it. We know there's something after death. And we hope it's going to be good, and we say it's good when we're at a funeral. But this is the truth. After death, there is something better than good and worse than our wildest fears. That's dependent upon now and where you put your faith and your trust. What light you walk by, yours or God's? Whose voice you obey, your own, the media's, your friends, or God's? Repent, believe in Christ while it is still today. Admit that you have rebelled against Him, you're unworthy to be accepted in His presence, but because of Christ, you can be forgiven. And you are forgiven if your faith is in Him. Back to, if your faith is in Christ, this reality is also a reminder to us when we deal with other people, when we interact with other people. If someone was really cranky and mean to you, let's say you're at the bank, and the bank teller is really just not very nice. But someone told you right before that interaction with the bank teller that she's dying of cancer and in a lot of pain. Would you be a little more forbearing with them? Everyone around us is going to face one of those two eternal realities. Having that in our minds should affect our perspective, our view of and our value of people and how we interact with them. And when we tell them about Jesus, tell them the whole truth. It's not just that God is love and He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. That is absolutely true. That whoever believes in Him should not perish. Perish? Yes, because Jesus, whom you can believe in now, will return. And there will be judgment. There will be judgment, and no one's worthy. But anyone who believes in Him, as Peter said there in Acts chapter 10, receives forgiveness of their sins. Is that a scare tactic? No, that's telling people the truth. Now, you can tell people the truth in two ways, right? You can tell someone, ew, you got food on your face. What? You're looking down on them. You're belittling them. Or you can say, oh, hey, you know, you need a napkin. You got mustard on your face. Right? Yeah, you can stand out there with a sandwich board hanging on you. That's what it's called when you hang a plaque on you. It says, turn or burn! Judgment's coming! Yeah, judgment's coming. Turn or burn. That's the picture we have in our head of people. The fact of the matter is they're speaking the truth, but they're not speaking it in love. There's no compassion. There's no tears. There's no brokenness. We need to tell people the whole truth. Doesn't mean we have to tell them in a way that's condescending and judgmental. We shouldn't. But we should tell them the whole truth. God is love. God has sent His Son. Whoever believes in Him does receive forgiveness and escapes that reality of constant torment that is there in Isaiah that'll happen after judgment. The whole truth, you tell them in love. We need to have that whole truth on our minds, that reality on our minds continually, so that we have the right perspective of whatever is going on right now in life today that seems like it's an eternity, because it's not. But eternity is coming. Join me in prayer. Father, I confess my default is to just see right in front of me, to walk by my own light, my own thinking, my own counsel. Thank You for Your patience, for Your forgiveness in Christ. That is only the tip of the iceberg in my rebellion against You, that You have pardoned because of Jesus. Father, be merciful to each one of us here, that we would have that reality on our minds of heaven and hell, that judgment's coming, so is a new heaven and a new earth, that Christ will return. Grant that we would believe, Father, remaining firm and steadfast in the faith, not looking left or right, not turning left or right. Transform our thinking, our perspective, our view of life, of events, of details, of things, and of the people around us. And grant us the love, the compassion, the boldness, and the opportunity to speak the whole truth to anyone and everyone. That more would come to believe in the one whom the prophets foretold and who has come and died and been raised again. More would come to believe in Jesus and receive forgiveness and pardon and reconciliation to you also. In Jesus' name, amen.